Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and usually at this time of the year in Albany, just weeks before Christmas, all through the Senate and all through the House, okay, they call it the Assembly, not a creature is stirring, no clicking with a mouse, but there could be some activity upstate with lawmakers looking for a pay raise this December, and in exchange, Governor Cuomo has his own wish list that he's making and checking twice, including items such as limiting outside income for lawmakers and requiring more disclosure about private earnings. Mommy, what I want for Christmas is for lawmakers to disclose more about their private earnings. Is it ethics for Christmas or bah humbug, no deal? Joining me now to cratchet up this topic, as well as some other news from Albany, is Jimmy Vielkind, Politico New York's Albany bureau chief. Hey, Jimmy.
Ho, ho, ho.
So what's on the table right now, exactly?
Well, we've heard from a source familiar with the talks early this morning as Albany was waking up to its first snowfall of the year that sort of the two-tiered approach that Governor Cuomo laid out for state lawmakers 2 weeks ago has sort of fallen to the lower-hanging fruit. Now, many of those ethics reforms that you mentioned, Brian, including this idea of completely banning outside income, possibly imposing term limits on state lawmakers, those would have been done by a constitutional amendment. And in order to get that done, in exchange for getting that done, lawmakers would have gotten kind of a significant pay bump in their salaries. Source tells me that that's basically off the table. The term limits were a non-starter in a Democrat-controlled state assembly. Many of the Republicans who control the state Senate are quite happy with their ability to earn outside income. And so now what we're really talking about is some of the second-tier priorities that Cuomo has outlined and a quote, more modest. No one seems to want to put a number on what a modest pay hike is in Albany. But a more modest pay hike in exchange for action on a memorandum of understanding that would release affordable housing funding. Funding for an anti-hate crimes task force that Governor Cuomo has created, as well as perhaps changes to the way the state does procurement, which is sort of a direct response to the scandal that has led to the indictment of several members of Governor Cuomo's inner circle.
This pay raise, what do state legislators get now? How long have they made that much? And what's the proposal for a raise?
They make about $79,500 as base pay, but many lawmakers, including most members of the state Senate, they get what's called a LULU. This is a stipend for having a leadership post, some of which are really substantive, like chairing a big committee like the Finance Committee, where you have to hold budget hearings. And some of them are just kind of made up, like assistant chair, pledge representative to the Social Committee of the various conferences. And so these LULUs usually range about anywhere from $10,000 to $20,000, $30,000 for sort of the biggest jobs. So you're looking at $90,000 to $100,000. Lawmakers also get, I think, somewhere around $175 for every day that they're in Albany, a per diem to cover expenses. And they're able to hold side jobs. There's no limit on their outside income. So we see some lawmakers who serve as adjunct professors, usually in the fall when they're not in session. Some lawmakers practice law. We have one lawmaker who's a pharmacist. He owns a pharmacy. And so there really is a variety of ranges of income. But the base pay is $79,500, and it's been at that level since 1999.
That's a long time. So is the argument for a pay raise just that there is inflation and that's relatively low for people in state legislative positions, I guess, 79.5, but it is a part-time job, so they have the opportunity to make other income. So, but is the argument just that it's been a long time since they've gotten a raise, so they should get a raise? Or is the argument also substantive in that presumably if they make more money, then there's going to be less temptation to the kind of corruption we've seen so much of in the legislature?
People make that last argument, but that's not the primary motivation. Lawmakers, particularly Carl Hastie, the Assembly Speaker who comes from the Bronx, his key point has been that particularly for lawmakers in New York City, and that's really when you're talking about them, you're really talking about the Democrats who dominate the state assembly. There has been no cost of living adjustment. And think about what the cost of living in New York City has changed from 1998, 1999 to the present day. I was talking to one Democrat from Manhattan who said that he bought his apartment, and in the period since he was elected to the legislature, and again, he bought a condo outright, his maintenance has doubled.
Yeah.
So how does he deal with that? How does he cover those costs? The other problem here, though, Brian, is that you think about $80,000 in New York City, and that's not a lot of money for particularly a college-educated professional with several years of experience in some relevant field. Uh-huh. It's a very solid salary, but it's not what you're going to make as an attorney. And a lot of these guys are attorneys. But go to upstate New York. $80,000 in a suburb of Albany is a perfectly adequate salary. It's fine to make a living. If you go to more rural parts of upstate New York, it's a very, very, very good wage. And so in any system where you need a majority of the votes of both the Republicans in the Senate, many of whom represent those upstate areas where $79,500 is probably twice the median income in some areas, it's going to be very difficult to make the case for a raise. And I think you're going to see many upstate legislators who know that politically they can't vote for an increase.
Interesting. Listeners, does anybody feel strongly about this pay raise for state legislators who now have part-time jobs in that position and make $79,500 a year? It's easy to say, oh, state legislature, we shouldn't pay those bums anymore. Or do you think, hey, it's been since 1999, maybe there's a quality issue, maybe they just deserve it after all that time, as a matter of course. Anybody have a strong opinion about pay raise for state legislators, which is on the table this month? 212-433-WNYC-433. 9692 for Jimmy Vielkind, Politico New York's Albany Bureau Chief. Can you tell me a little more about that new hate crime task force that the governor wants funding for, possibly in exchange for approving this raise?
Well, the governor, of course, since the election of Donald Trump, has saw and lamented and is now seizing on the increase in bias incidents, swastikas. Of course, there was a female employee of the MTA who is a Muslim who was harassed while she was leaving work. And so I think what the governor is trying to do is unite the New York State Police, the state's Division of Human Rights, other agencies that sort of would look at these incidents, get a dedicated team, be very strong, be very serious, and really be proactive, particularly if the election of Donald Trump has sort of sustained consequences in our political rhetoric and in perhaps making more hate crimes.
Roberta in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hi, Roberta.
Hi. I just wanted to make the point that attorneys who are working as legislators and earning $79,000 a year are just kind of holding their breath until they leave, where they go into law firms and earn fortunes of money just showing their faces. It's an investment in their future.
Do you think a lot of them use it that way, Jimmy?
There are people who have served in the state legislature and then gone on, particularly to work in lobbying, where, yes, their income does rise considerably, and their term of service in the legislature is sort of punching the card or punching your ticket to a more lucrative job. One person you can think of a few people who have done this, and the law does provide for a two-year sort of holding period where you cannot hold a job lobbying the government or the wing of the government within 2 years of holding a position there. The other problem that we have, Brian, again, particularly for New York City, is the New York City Council. New York City Council members now make significantly more money, about 50% more than state lawmakers.
Huh.
So if you're a state assemblyman in New York City and there's a city council seat that opens up, even though it's a smaller level of government, you're looking at a 50% salary hike and the lack of a commute to Albany. So that sort of disparity is something that lawmakers are aware of. It's gotten worse over the years as the New York City Council's pay has risen. And I think that is certainly a factor that lawmakers are looking to address.
Diana New Rochelle. Diana in New Rochelle, you're on WNYC.
Yes,
hi, Diana.
Brian. Hi. I've comment is, this is a part-time job. What constitutes part-time, and why are they paying, in addition to their $79.5, $175 per day to be in Albany where they're supposed to be doing their job? Who else gets paid for being on the job?
Well, there are many lawmakers, and thank you for the call. That's a very good point. There are lawmakers who maintain second residences and apartments. Some people buy houses here in Albany or its suburbs. And generally speaking, legislators are spending anywhere from 2 to 4 days a week at the state capitol for the first 6 months of the year. So between hearings and actually voting on bills, they are in Albany fairly frequently. And when they're not in Albany, legislators maintain a district office. They interact with their constituents, and that means everything from fielding a complaint or a problem that a resident of any area has that needs to liaise with the government, or to simply just, you know, try and interact with their constituents, doing things like marching in parades, going to the American Legion pancake breakfast, etc. And so there are many lawmakers who say that they approach their job as a full-time job, and they believe that they should be paid as such, and that includes both upstaters and downstaters.
But if it is a part-time job, and they're allowed to have outside income, and many of them are lawyers, I know there are some kinds of law that they're not supposed to practice because it would present a conflict of interest, but what do they really make overall? Are there good stats on that?
There is a survey, but it really does vary. And, you know, there are, again, some lawmakers are just making $79,500. Some are practicing law and making more than $100,000 from that private practice. In recent years, we've seen that ebb a little bit, mostly in response to the prosecution and conviction of both Sheldon Silver and Dean Skelos. They were attorneys. They had private practice. And particularly Silver was found to have used his position as a lawyer to basically enrich himself, leveraging his connections and his influence over state policy.
One more call. Barbara in Saranac Lake. You're on WNYC. Hey, Barbara, is it snowing in the Adirondacks?
Oh, it's got snow. We're having a wonderful winter come up and see.
Good.
My comment is that, you know, we sit here and listen to them whining, and then with the other hand, they strike out any kind of cost of living increases for minimum wage or for Social Security. And I think our representatives need to start living what we're all living. And until they do, they're going to sit there in their ivy tower and be very self-serving, the foxes protecting the hen cage.
Barbara, thank you very much. And, of course, it's the federal government that decides about Social Security. Minimum wage at the state level is already scheduled to rise to $15, just to be clear about those two policies that you mentioned. But maybe Barbara calling with that indignation from Saranac Lake is a little evidence of what you were saying before, Jimmy, that this is going to be harder to justify in the rural areas where $79,000 goes a lot longer than it does in Manhattan or the Bronx.
Well, I certainly think that's the case. And Barbara touched on another good point, which is something that came up in the negotiations over this salary hike. Now, this was all supposed to be handled by a supposedly independent panel. It had appointees from the legislative branch, from the executive branch, and from the judiciary. And one of the proposals made by the legislative appointee was that if you look at a state worker represented by a union, and if you looked at their pay from 1998 when the last hike was set to the present day, and you took that and looked at what it has gone up as a result of collective bargaining, it's about 2% per year cumulative over time. Governor Cuomo just struck a deal with the Public Employees Federation, a major union representing state employees, for 2% raises. In his first term, he did 3 zeros and then some 2% raises. And so there is a recognition among the government that you do need to give people raises. So that argument can cut both ways. On the one hand, the government has given out higher pay to state workers, but when times were tough, particularly a few years ago, they did give out zeros in contract negotiations.
Jimmy, I got to go here in a minute, but let me ask you one unrelated thing. A story on Syracuse.com that was published on Saturday revealed that 2 days after Governor Cuomo's campaign collected $25,000 in donations from the property management company, Core Development, the state dislodged a contract which had been stalled for 5 months to sell the company 3.6 acres of state land along the Inner Harbor in Syracuse. Is this a coincidence or evidence of a quid pro quo that could actually get the governor in trouble? And related to that, I read that President-elect Donald Trump will keep Preet Bharara as U.S. attorney for New York, despite Preet being appointed by President Obama. Can you confirm that? And I wonder if it's because Preet is investigating big Democrats like Governor Cuomo and Mayor de Blasio. What do you think?
Well, we did hear Preet Bharara say that he was staying on. And I can tell you that here at the state capitol, there were people cheering in the hallways when they heard that news. It was perceived as very interesting. That story in
Syracuse, why would they cheer in the hallways? He's investigated nobody more than New York state legislators.
I think that there are several legislators who are happy to see him drain the swamp. I think that there are good ethical legislators who think he's doing good work, and we did get a positive response from several. So that story about the campaign contributions and then the contract being dislodged, you know, this is New York. This is how the game is played. And of course, Governor Cuomo denies that there is any connection between the $25,000 that he raised to his campaign account and the contract moving forward, which benefited the developer that donated. But that's always the case. We always see campaign contributions from developers, from businesses, from union leaders, from people, and then some sort of official action. And of course, we're always denied. At what point, though, do listeners stop believing in coincidences? I think that is a fundamental question. It's something that prosecutors have paid very, very close attention to. And here, with this particular instance, many of the players involved, Core Development, a Syracuse-based firm, Todd Howe, a lobbyist who arranged and set up the fundraiser where the contribution occurred, Joe Prococo, the governor's former political top dog and a man who he's compared to a brother, were all involved in this. So I think that while there's a claim that it's a coincidence, it's certainly something that's going to be looked at very closely by prosecutors. But we also need to recognize that unless a politician personally is enriched, and that doesn't include their campaign account, it's very, very, very difficult to allege any kind of a crime.
Well, not that long ago, Preet Bharara said, stay tuned. I guess it still applies. Jimmy Vielkind, Albany Bureau Chief for Politico New York. Thanks a lot.
Thanks for having me, Brian.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. More to come.